listening to the Autoblog Podcast, episode number 57.
The Volvo XC70 and XC90 deliver the ideal combination of versatility and comfort. They're both rugged and dependable and come equipped with Volvo's advanced safety features. Visit www.volvocars.us for more information.
Hello and welcome to the 57th episode of the Autoblog Podcast. As always, I'm your host, John Neff, and with me is Damon Lavrence and Alex Nunez. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great.
Great. How are you doing?
I'm still kind of recovering from the Chicago Auto Show, which was last week, and we had a pretty large team there, considering how not very big the show is compared to, you know, Detroit and even L.A. But we kicked it. I think we did a great job. We had video for the first time. I don't know if everyone checked it out, but mad props go out to our newest autoblogger, Chris Junk, for just cranking out videos left and right of the unveilings. And basically, yeah, I got back after that, kind of took the weekend off a little bit. And so I'm trying to ease myself into the week smoothly. So I'm recovering, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But just because the show's over, I think a few items from the show are definitely worth talking about on today's podcast. So let's get into it right away. And I think the biggest unveiling or debut at the Chicago Auto Show this year was definitely the Pontiac G8, which, for those of you who don't know, is going to be Pontiac's large rear-wheel drive sedan that's based off the Holden Commodore. And for now, it's going to be built in Australia, basically, and exported to the United States. So the U.S. market will instantly become Holden's or one of Holden's biggest export markets because of this G8 sedan. And I have to say, based on the pictures we saw, because we saw a lot of pictures before this thing actually debuted, there were, you know, leaks all over the place, of course. From the pictures, I wasn't too impressed. But in person, this thing is a lot more imposing than the images suggest. I mean, this is a big sedan, and I actually wasn't, I thought I'd be a little bit offended by just the standard grill treatment that they did. I mean, it was technically rebadging, but it was the rebadging of a model that we don't get here. And it really didn't offend me in person. I mean, you know, I don't see a Holden every day. So seeing it with a Pontiac grill, wasn't a bad thing in my opinion. Now I know you guys didn't see it in person, but basically what do you think of the car so far?
Well, I've been a fan of the VE Commodore and obviously the prior Commodores as well anyway. So, I mean, I pretty much knew that I was going to like it because I like the current Commodore. And you know, whatever front clip they're going to put on, it was pretty predictable what they were going to do.
Yeah.
Outside of that insane rumor that it was going to look like the Solstice, which, you know, come on.
Yeah. How wrong was that? I mean,
it was about as wrong as one could be. I mean,
I don't know who started that, but
thank God it was wrong too, because that would have.
You think that was a mistake if they would have done it?
Oh, it would have been a huge mistake. The car's too angular. It's not. I mean, the Solstice is this roundy round, you know, thing which looks great for what it is, but you can't put a round front end and, you know, rear end on this car and have it not look ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it looks just fine with a swapping of the grills and a couple tweaks in the lower bumper. You know, and I guess one question I have, and I think it's a really interesting question, is why do you think the G8 will work when the Pontiac GTO didn't? Because basically they're both transplanted Australian vehicles with swapped grills.
G8 has an inherently wider audience just because it's a sedan.
Yeah, totally. And I think the designing, I mean, the GTO is a very, very bland design. I think that's pretty much what most people, their biggest problem was with the GTO. I think this is much more bold. It's much more upright. It's a good-looking vehicle. And what? It's finally giving Pontiac a good injection of incitement, which they've been lacking for way too long. So.
Well, and plus the Holden Commodore was just redesigned, which I don't think that was the case of the...
This car is, what, 6 months old?
Yeah. It's not very, very old at all.
6 or 8 months old. It was came out in July.
So. Right, and the car the GTO was based on was not. I mean, it was nearing the end.
It was end of life almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was a really fun car to drive, but it was just a really, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't think many people faulted the mechanicals, but they just couldn't get past the styling. And,
It's funny, I think I actually like the GTO personally. I don't think they're bad looking, especially the later ones when they started, when they put the, when they put the 6 liter in.
Right.
And they kind of dress them up a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's.
I mean, come on, that car sounds evil. It's really fast. It's got a superb interior.
I do agree with people when they say the styling wasn't good, basically. I mean, it was just boring and bland. I agree with them on that, but I mean, it's still a great car. I mean, it had 400 horsepower. Like you said, a great interior. And it was just, a honking rear wheel drive sports car, for cheap, I mean, they started going really cheap at the end.
Yeah. But no, Alex,
if you like the interior on that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Damon.
No. I was just going to say your point about this vehicle having a much broader appeal is it's a good sports sedan and it's gonna draw an audience there. But it's also just a normal sedan. You can still get it with a 3.6 liter V6, which is going to appeal to a lot of other people. So
and that 3.6 liter is not a slouch engine.
Right.
No, that's what I understand.
By any means. Yeah. There is no crappy version of the G8. In terms of powertrain, at least, because at the very least you're getting the 3.6, which is I think a pretty terrific engine in its own right.
Yeah, but this is a big car, and I think I underestimated how big it was exactly. I mean, when you say sports sedan, it's one thing, but it looked bigger than a CTS. I mean, you're getting more into like in between a CTS and an STS or something like that. So I wonder exactly how sporty it will be, how good of a handler it will be, because I think it's going to be very heavy.
No, I think I've heard the dynamics on this are much better, but yeah, no, that's the biggest concern right now. But when you look at sports sedans, whether it's a BMW 540 or, something like that, I mean, the weight is normally not as big of an issue just because it's expected to be a little bit heavy and they normally, equip it with the right amount of power to overcome that to a certain degree. They're never tossable, flickable vehicles, but they're enjoyable for cruising and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And most people are going to use it just as you said, Damon, cruising and stuff. I mean, not everybody that goes out and buys these cars is out there trying to turn, their local back roads into the Nürburgring.
Exactly.
Well, Bob Lutz said production might be targeted anywhere from 30 to 50,000. I mean, they're going to sell out those in an instant.
They'll get 30, I think, easy.
Yeah. Did you guys notice that the badge on the G8 is a new Pontiac badge that they're kind of testing
out? Yeah, I did notice
that,
as a matter of fact.
What do you guys think of that? It doesn't have the red in it anymore. It's kind of like a chrome and almost like a whitish silver.
It's fine. I mean, I like it. I mean, I could care less which, if the Pontiac badge they put on the car is silver or red, it really doesn't matter as long as important thing is that the car is coming. So.
Yeah. Did you guys see the one in red? There's a picture of a G8 in red on the internet somewhere.
I did see the red G8.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, cause we've only seen it.
That was the one at the Australian launch. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think for all intent and purposes, the G8, we knew it was coming at the show. We knew it was going to be the biggest thing. It came. It was the biggest thing. And we were there with tons and tons of pictures and video of it. And it was obviously a wildly popular post.
Yeah, and a couple things also, the show car elements, like the leather on the dashboard and stuff, obviously that won't make it. But, I mean, the whole interior you see there, that's the real car's interior. And GM can talk all they want about how these, the wheels and the lowered suspension are show car only parts. Those are HSV parts. The wheels are HSV wheels, and I'm willing to bet everything that the suspension is just an HSV suspension.
Oh yeah.
That's all stuff making this show car. No way. All parts bin. I mean, you can get all that stuff, and that means that if there's a demand for it, people are gonna be able to get that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to. I mean, I wish we could talk about every car at the Chicago show like we did with the Detroit show, but quite honestly, there wasn't that much. There were only a few that really kind of. Sparked my interest, and so let's move on to the next couple, which are the two vehicles from Scion. the XB, the new one, and the all-new XD. And these were literally, these were the, like, I swear, the only vehicles on the second day that were unveiled. The second day of the show was, I mean, we could have gone home and it, we would have been just fine. So I have to admit, when I first saw the pictures of these, I thought in pictures they looked horrible. I mean, they're just, you know, everyone expects Scions to be a little quirky and a little weird, but I thought this was going way over the deep end for the U.S. market. But again, in person, it just seemed to make sense. And you stand there and look at these vehicles, you know, standing right next to them, and you know only Scion is the only brand that could pull these two vehicles off. The XD is very similar to the XA it replaces. Of course, it's larger, as all next-generation vehicles are, but it's kind of like a five-door hatch.
And has a real interior.
And it has a real interior.
Although they didn't shift the gauge pod to the middle, which I was really disappointed. Did that on the XB, but didn't do it on the XD, which I thought was kind
of... Well, they were both in the middle before, right?
On the last gen, yeah, exactly.
But the XA's new interior has it directly in front of the driver, correct?
Yeah.
Or is it the...
The XD. The XD, you mean?
XD, yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It has it.
Yeah, the XD has the actual... The primary gauges are, you know, in the traditional spot where they belong, not in that moronic middle spot.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the XD's interior, it kind of just looks like a cheap car's interior to me. The XB's interior, it still has the gauges kind of in the center, which is weird, but it's really interesting to me this time. I don't know why, because it's very simple. And, I mean, yeah, these are both cheap cars, but I got to tell you, one feature I'm really impressed with on the Scion XB, the new one, it's a much larger vehicle than the current XB.
And, yeah, that's what I understand.
And the current XB was already, I mean, it had a lot of utility. You could do a lot with it just because it was a perfect slab-sided van, pretty much.
But those things carry a lot of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So this one's larger, and the rear bench seat, you can move fore and aft, like either 6 to 8 inches, and it also reclines. I mean, that's functionality that's built into much more expensive vehicles. That have that kind of articulation for the rear seats. And so I thought that was a great feature for the XB. And the fact that they gave it like 50 more horsepower, it's bigger, but it's still not, I still wouldn't in any stretch of the imagination call it like a big car. It still has that really small feel. So, I mean, I think they took the XB and just gave it more of what made it so popular in the first place. So I think they'll do great with that one. And the XD, like I said, when I saw it in pictures, it looked like a big insect to me. But in person, it worked, you know? And you know, at the show, they rolled out the
trick versions.
Yeah.
The Miami cars, yeah.
Right, the Miami cars. And then they rolled out base versions. And I have to admit, they both looked much better modified than they did in their base
they
models.
They all do. All Scions do.
Yeah. But quite honestly... These are more exciting vehicles than the current TC, which is supposed to be like the, I don't know what you would call it, the Scion Halo vehicle or the Scion
Pretty
aspirational
much, yeah.
vehicle.
Well, it's the biggest Celica. Seller too. I mean, that's the other thing.
Oh, is it? Is the TC
yeah.
the best seller?
No, that was. But that's what they were really. That's what they're really pushing in the in their press release when the TC was redesigned. Was it's their best selling vehicle? Which I was kind of surprised. I thought the XB would be up there. But I don't know. I've kind of got a weird perspective out here in California because it was released a year and a half before it hit the rest of the country. So
I don't know.
I see a lot more of them out here.
This current XB, or I'm sorry, the next generation XB, I think it's going to easily beat the TC. I mean, it's got pretty inoffensive styling. It's not like super weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that really thick D pillar, so it's got more space in the pack. 158 horsepower is probably just enough to be.
A lot better than what it was.
Right,
that's
right.
Major thing,
basically,
yeah.
to be both powerful and efficient.
I mean, 158 horsepower is really good for a car like this.
Well, and you put it up against something like a Honda Fit, which is, you know, another small car, like a five-door hatchback, that is supposed to have utility and be frugal and fun to drive. And I think I'd rather have an XB because it'd be bigger but still small. I hope it drives well. I guess that's the big question mark is, are these Scions going to be dogs? Cause I remember, the XA and the current XA and the current XB, some of the slowest vehicles I've ever driven in my life.
Right.
Aside from the four-wheel
drive. And the dynamics didn't make up for it.
No.
Because you can deal with a slow vehicle, but
yeah, right, the dynamics handles well.
Somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
No, they drove, they accelerated slowly, and they handled slowly. So they really surprised me. And you know what? They had all of the second day at the show to themselves. I mean, everybody just hung around for the Scion press conference, and then all the journalists left right afterwards because there was basically nothing else going on. Everybody else blew their wad the first day. So, well, let's move on to the last thing we want to talk about that happened at the Chicago show. And this was really the first thing that happened right when we got there. The first day of the first press day at like 8 a.m., Mark Fields giving a keynote. This had leaked out the night before, but basically Mark Fields confirmed that the current Ford 500 would henceforth be known as the Taurus again, basically. And also that the Mercury Montego would now be known as the Sable, and that the Freestyle would now be known as the Taurus X. And this completely divided people. I think more people, and you guys will have to tell me what you think, but more people probably saw this as just a complete act of desperation to bring back the Taurus and the Sable name rather than a completely thought out and intelligent, shrewd move. So I don't know. What do you guys think about it?
I think long term, it's actually is a smart move. I actually like the idea because, and you know, in the, if you look at it and with a sense of immediacy, it is a total act of desperation and right. It seems stupid. But listen, in 2 years, these cars are all going to get fully redone. You will have now have had 2 years with which to reestablish the brand names and, you know, hopefully the renamed cars will be good enough to, you know,
live up to the name, really
live up to the name. And, but then what's going to happen is when Ford's, you know, in 2010, when the whole, you know, when Ford has their big GM year, pretty much, mm-hmm. With all new product, you're going to have an all new Taurus and all new Sable. And let's, can we all be honest here? We are way too close to this, as are a lot of the other people that are bitching, you know, endlessly about this.
A very good
this
point.
Is going to be a very distant memory. And with consumers who don't care at all about this argument that we're having about whether or not this is an act of desperation, mm-hmm. All they're going to see is, listen, consumers now, they're going to say, oh, new Taurus, new Sable, that's great. And in 2 years, it's going to be all the all-new Taurus and the all-new Sable. Nobody is even going to remember this.
I bet you $1 million that the vast majority of normal average Joe consumers don't even know a 500 and a Montego exist. To them, they're going to say, once they see a Taurus on the road, that's exactly what they're going to say. Oh, a new Taurus. Wow, look at that.
And the cars look different than the ones with the old names anyway.
Right. Not greatly. I mean, they don't totally look different.
Different enough for the average person, it's different enough.
Exactly. And I have to say, the Sable looks damn good. That was a surprise, just how they put that kind of a Mercury Milan front into it, and it looks really good. You know, looking at the Taurus X, which was the Freestyle, and I've had this argument with Ford before, or about Ford before, which is that they have too many CUVs, but I would get a Taurus X over an Edge any day. It's lighter because it's kind of a smaller vehicle, but it mm-hmm. has a third row, and the Edge doesn't. It uses the same engine now, the 3.5 liter V6. Mm-hmm. You can get it with all wheel drive. You can do more with it. It's gonna.
It's so looking, unimaginable, though. It's so unimaginative. I mean, it
what,
looks
the
like a. Yeah. Oh no. I the first time I saw it, I thought it was the most ridiculous thing, just because of the fact that it looks like an Explorer that's been chopped down.
Yeah,
there was
pretty much
no.
Looks, I mean, with a 3-bar grill, it pretty much looks like an Edge and every other.
It's an Edge station wagon.
Like an Edge.
I mean, yeah, it really is. I mean, it's a tall station wagon, basically.
Yeah.
But I think with that 3-bar grill, it brings the design cues. It runs a line through all the cars and really ties them together. And
I find
a Freestyle owner who doesn't like their vehicle. I bet you can't, because it just goes about its job and does a great. It just does a great job at what it does.
I work with someone who has one. She loves that car.
Yeah. And why? I mean, like I said, why would you get an Edge? This has three rows. It's probably going to get better gas mileage because it's lighter. It's probably going to handle better. It basically seems to one-up the Edge in everything. Probably price, too. And, oh, my God. You know what? If you look at the one that we have on the post, the two-tone with, like, the beige bottom and, like, the, what would you call it?
Dark. That's red. The Eddie Bauer one.
Yeah, the Eddie Bauer.
The maroon and tan one.
Don't look at that one. That looks like crap.
The limited.
Look at the gallery and look at the one that's like gunmetal gray.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, it
looking.
Looks so good.
It's great looking. Yeah. Listen, I think the Taurus X now is that's a nice station wagon.
Yeah.
And guess what? GM doesn't have one. You know, that's something only Ford has right now. Mm-hmm. And Dodge, you know, yeah. So it's just Ford and Dodge are the only two with big wagons like that right now.
But like I said, the problem is it's just too crowded in Ford's lineup for this stuff, and they just keep coming out with more.
There's more crossovers coming. I honestly don't know how Ford's not going to cannibalize. There, something's going to have to give, you know, when the big refresh comes.
They're just drowning themselves in crossovers, which is frustrating. You know,
this Fairlane one is going to be the most redundant car ever. Yeah. Between the Taurus X and the Edge
at this point. Yeah, especially if the X becomes a player now, which I think it has the chops to do with a new engine, a slightly new look that makes it a little bit more visually interesting, and the slapping the Taurus name on it. And I'm sorry, as much as they hurt the Taurus name, it still has a lot of weight with consumers.
It's got a ton of cachet.
True.
Yeah, it's totally the great white hope for domestic automakers. I mean, people look at the Camry and the Accord, and they know the only car that could have a shot of ever beating it is a Taurus, because that's the only car that ever did.
I would have to be a fly on the wall in the meeting where Mullally or whomever told the marketing people, you are getting rid of these old names or
well,
these
you know
old
what I
new
read?
Names.
I read that it wasn't Mullally's decision. It was a marketing person's idea.
Really?
Yeah, because they said that everyone's going around saying, oh, Alan Mullally decided to do this. And they said that, no, they said he just came in and was like, all right, all ideas are on the table. I don't care how stupid it is or how crazy it is. Just throw ideas out. We need ideas now. And a marketing guy said, why don't we bring back the Taurus name? And it was just an atmosphere where you felt like you could say something without getting shot down and fired,
right?
Which was the environment people were operating in before, and that's what led to it. And you know what? It gave Ford a lot of headlines in a show where it didn't.
Where they had nothing.
Have a lot of product, you know.
Yeah.
It had warmed over, refreshed product.
These would have been the biggest non-stories if there wasn't the name change.
Yeah, no, completely agreed. And now Ford's really done that twice, because we didn't think that they were going to have a showing at all in Detroit, and they pulled the Interceptor and the MKR out, and boom, they really got a lot of thunder at that show, despite the fact that other automakers had, you know, huge product.
Mm-hmm. And they did it at LA too with the Jujaro Mustang.
Yeah, so you know they've used very strategic moves to gain attention, and it's been working for them so far. Like I said, I mean, they're operating on empty. They have so few moves left to pull.
Well, they're going to have that GTH convertible. That is the lock of the year for New York.
You think so?
I think it's a total lock. Come on, GTH was at New York last year. This is a total common sense thing to expect.
Oh, I think we can expect it, but I mean, in terms of like impact, I don't think they're going to steal the show at the GTH.
They won't. No, they would steal the show. But I'm trying to think what else GM has left. You know.
Yeah, GM has definitely shown a lot. I imagine they're probably going to have some hybrid versions of stuff, like maybe finally the production Tahoe hybrid. You know.
Well, that was there. That was at Detroit.
They had production stuff, but they still haven't released EPA figures for them, which pisses me off. I hate it when they do that. And as our auto blogger Sam Abu Elsamid, which I finally got his name right, noticed at the Chicago show, all the hybrids there under GM. He specifically noticed it with the View hybrid.
Yeah,
they're all the regular versions with the gas engines, with just the hybrid trim added. They didn't actually have hybrids there.
They had no pre-production hybrids.
Right,
already.
Right. Pre-production hybrids, which means 100% gas hybrids.
Doesn't that strike you guys as kind of scandalous?
Hey, no, not really. Yeah. It's a show. I mean, because obviously, you know, those cars weren't meant to be gotten into. Those were cars that were probably locked the whole time or behind
a
rope.
You're bringing a vehicle out and you're saying, look, we've got a hybrid and here's the hybrid badging. And then you pop the hood and there's not a hybrid. That just
I think it's a little... It's a little.
It's a big deal.
I think it's not good. I don't think it's scandalous, but it's like, yeah, if you say this is the View Hybrid, you're saying that it's more than that. This looks like the View Hybrid. You're saying, you know, they're implying that yes, that is the View Hybrid.
Did anybody see the instrument cluster of the View Hybrid?
Of the fake ones. But I imagine they switched it out. I don't think they'd be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not hard to do, to switch out a gauge pod.
I mean, listen, for a show where it's not being driven, it just needs to convey the look. I mean, this is not for us. This is for the regular people that are
running the show. Right. Okay, we got one last thing to talk about.
Exciting, yes.
Non-Chicago show related, and this broke today at early in the morning at midnight. And it was Dodge's concept that they're going to debut at the Geneva Motor Show early next month. And it's called the Dodge Demon. It's a rear-wheel drive roadster, very much like a Mazda MX-5. Pretty much not identical in its dimensions to an MX-5, but very, very close.
Damn close, yeah.
Yeah, very, very close. And Dodge comes right out and says that they benchmarked the MX-5 when designing it. Kind of looks like a mini Viper, kind of not, though. I mean, it has the big crosshaired grill.
Crosshaired grill is the only Viper thing it's really got.
I agree.
Well, the headlamps and the hood bulge is very similar to the last-gen Viper.
In the back, the first thing I thought was that Ford Street Ka, the little convertible.
The rear fender just jutting out looks very Street Ka.
Yeah. And then the rear taillights are all TT.
Oh, complete TT.
Maybe Aston Martin, some people said.
But, what do you guys think of the styling? Let's start off with that.
Styling-wise, I think it is not... I mean, it's not kind of a blow-your-mind, wow, that's the most beautiful roadster I've ever seen. I would say it doesn't look as good as an MX-5 or a Solstice or a Sky. I don't think it's just... At the same time, it's like not interesting and kind of complicated in the rear.
It looks like two different cars when you go from the front to the back.
Yeah.
Well, and look at the interior. Look at the steering. That steering wheel is ripped directly from the Mustang.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right,
I do like the interior though. It's just
interior's good compared to the other Chrysler Group interiors that are out now. All right.
It's simple. It looks like Chrysler could actually pull that interior off because they can't pull off the complicated interiors that they've been producing lately.
If they pulled this off, it would be the best interior that they offered in any car right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just simple. I mean, it's sometimes that's all you need, especially in a roadster that's kind of pure in concept. It's powered by the world engine, the 2.4 liter world engine that makes 172 horsepower, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So not a huge engine, but in these kind of cars, you kind of rely on handling as much as power.
We know they're going to shoehorn the SRT 4's 300 horsepower in.
Exactly.
They kind of mentioned that.
Yeah, well, I mean it's pie in the sky at this point until there's anything.
We should make clear that it's highly unlikely that they will produce this car.
No, they can't. Yeah.
Unlike the Jeep Trailhawk concept and the Chrysler Nassau concept, this was not made on a current platform. This was built from the ground up. So, I mean, in terms of that, it's not production ready at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's running. It's a running concept. But, I mean, the reaction to this would have to be huge for them to decide to go to the expense of producing basically what's a niche vehicle. You know, I mean, how many of these could they realistically sell? And you know, they need a small car before they need a freaking roadster, you know. I mean, make a volume small car and then build this roadster off that platform if you're going to do that. And with, you know, with the deal they have with that Chinese automaker, maybe they'll have a platform to do this in a couple years, but this is probably going to be just an attention grabber at Geneva, which I have to wonder, why would they introduce us at Geneva?
I was going to ask the same question. I mean, I know they're trying to establish the Dodge brand in Europe,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's why, what was it? The Hornet was the little B-class, right? The concept?
Right.
Yeah, that was introduced in Europe.
So, I mean, I'm sure that's, you know, this is just a sort of...
And they had the Avenger in Europe that they introduced there with a diesel engine.
Right.
So, yeah, I can understand that they want to have stuff for Europe, but, God, what did they have in Chicago? I don't even know. I can't remember.
They had the chassis cabs.
Yeah. The Dakota. All they had in Chicago. And quite honestly, the Dakota
is quite forgettable, unfortunately.
It's a mess. I would not want to be seen. I'd go out and buy 10 Ford Rangers before I'd
looks
buy
like
that.
A 20-year-old truck to me.
Yeah.
The new Dakota.
And then the chassis cabs, which are exciting to pretty much Eric Bryant and a couple hundred other people. So this would have been a pretty cool thing to have in Chicago, I think. And then, you know, then you bring it over to Europe, but I don't run Daimler Chrysler, so I don't get to make those decisions. Well, that's pretty much it for stuff we have to talk about this week, kind of easing back into the podcast thing. We do want to remind people that we started an e-reader ride of the day again, and we're doing it on a regular basis. We had our first poll again, a reader ride of the week poll last week, and it went pretty well. That was for the beater of the week, which was that was so fun. Some of those cars were incredible.
Actually, that was our second poll for the
year. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
Another poll, yeah.
So I think we're on our third straight week then.
Yeah.
And there's no theme this week, but just a lot of good cars. So anyone
we're looking for trucks for a truck week, so that's the other next thing we want to do.
Oh, that's the next week we're pimping.
We at some point in the future, we'd like to do that. So
I'd like
so get your trucks up.
Get your trucks in. I'd like to do a project car of the week and have people send in their, like, the projects they're working on in whatever state they're in. I think that'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
Whatever kind of car you have, truck, beater, exotic, project car, whatever, to submit, all you got to do is go on autoblog.com and click on the category that says RR of the week. And in any one of those posts, it'll give you instructions for how to submit. The only thing we ask is that you submit information about your car and lots of it when you submit your pictures, just so we have something to say about your car. Otherwise, if you just submit pictures, we can't use them. So aside from that, of course, you can visit autoblog.com and see all of our posts anytime you want. We're doing, God, more than ever lately. We're just cranking them out. We have probably the best Autoblog team we've ever had. So we're having a ball, and I think most of our readers are enjoying the site more than ever right now. So we thank all of you. So until next week, everybody, have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
See you guys.
Later.
The Volvo XC70 and XC90 deliver the ideal combination of versatility and comfort. They're both rugged and dependable and come equipped with Volvo's advanced safety features. Visit www.volvocars.us for more information.